Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. This is the Apostle Paul's first epistle, first letter to the church at Corinth. And in this chapter, he's been dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, the title of this message may seem a little strange to you, but I want you to hear me out on this and you'll understand where I'm going. But the title is a question, and the question is simply this: who is all? Who is all? A-L-L, that's what I mean. Now, why did I get that title? Well, let's look at this. The Apostle Paul has been talking about the resurrection of the dead. In the last day, when Christ returns, when he comes back the second time, all the dead in Christ will arise, the scripture says, will be caught up to meet with him in the sky, in the clouds, and will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Paul deals with that in all through 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, when we talk about the glorified realm or state of salvation, most of what we know is taken from 1 Corinthians 15. There are other passages, but what we do know about that state, that eternal glorified state, a lot of it comes from 1 Corinthians 15. But Paul is saying here that what happened was false preachers had begun to challenge the truth of the resurrection of the dead. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, listen, he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Most miserable. And verse 20 says, "But now Christ is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And what he's teaching there is this: Christ, if Christ arose from the dead, which he did, he was resurrected the third day, and I talked about that last week, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christianity hinges on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, what he accomplished in all of that. And so if you claim to believe the Bible, if you claim to be a Christian, but you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Because the resurrection of the dead, and the dead that he's talking about there are the people for whom Christ died, the people for whom Christ was buried, the people for whom Christ resurrected, those whom he stood for as a surety, a substitute, a redeemer, and now as intercessor. If you don't believe that they who died in Christ, who are in Christ, will be risen from the dead, then you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, because the two are vitally connected. If Christ arose from the dead, and he did so, as we read there in verse 20, as the first fruits of them that slept. Slept there, it refers to the saints, sinners saved by grace, who've already died. Christ is the first fruits. Now, you know the law of the first fruits under the old covenant back in the days of Israel under that covenant, it said, it went something like this: if the first fruits, when they went out and they planted, and then the crops grew, and then when it came time in the fall to reap those crops, to bring them in, gather them in, if the first fruits were good, then the whole crop was good. Well, Christ is the first fruits of his people. He arose from the dead, and because he arose from the dead, they'll be risen too. And so he proves it by this. Now look at verse 21. He says, "For since by man came death..." Now who is that man? That's Adam. Adam was the instrument by which sin came into the world and death. You remember Adam was under the covenant of works with God. God told him he could eat of every tree of the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, in the day that you eat thereof, Adam, you shall die. You shall surely die. Dying thou shalt die. Adam ate. He fell. And Adam was a representative now of the whole human race. He brought the whole human race into sin and death. And we'll see that in just a moment. So since by man, Adam, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now that second man there is Christ, the God-man. Now he is man. This is not a denigration of his person to call him man. The Bible says that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is a man. I heard a message years ago that brought this out. There's a man in glory. Now, he's more than man. And how do we know that? Because of the other passages of Scripture that we read. We interpret the Bible with itself. The Bible is its best own interpreter. And this man, by whom comes the resurrection of the dead, is God manifest in the flesh. He's the God-man. So this is Christ. So as Adam, through his disobedience, brought sin and death into the world, Christ, by his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, brought life, spiritual, eternal life. And so you see, there's only one way of salvation. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so look at verse 21. He says, but now, or verse 21, yeah. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now look at verse 22. Now here's where I get the title from. Who is all? For as in Adam, all die. Now, who is the all there? Want to see. All right. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, who is the all there? Now, many times in the Scriptures, and people make a grave mistake here. Any time in the Scriptures that you see words like all or everyone, everybody, even the word world. Most people, because they have been taught so wrongly today, they automatically assume that, well, that means everybody without exception. Every man, woman, child who's ever lived on this earth, from Adam all the way up to the last person who will live and die. But that's not true. It's simply not true. Who is the all here? Whenever the Bible talks about the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, does that mean God loved everybody without exception? Well, according to the Bible, no. The Bible says that God hates all workers of iniquity. The Bible says that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I know preachers will tell you, well, that means he loved Esau less. That is not what it means. The reason people have a hard time considering a God who hates anybody is because they feel self-righteously that none of us deserve hatred. But the fact is, we all deserve his hatred. None of us deserve his love. Read the life of Jacob, whom God loved. Jacob didn't deserve or earn God's love. And read the life of Esau. It's a pretty good life. He was the all-American boy, we would say today. But he said, and if you read that in Romans chapter 9, it was because of the purpose of God's election might stand, his grace. God said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. That's his glory. Now, you might not like that. That might not sit well with you, but you'll have to take that up with God. So, whenever the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What he's talking about there is the world of his elect, the world of believers, those who come to faith in Christ. I can show you a verse right away that that will show you what I'm talking about context, that tells us the very meaning of the word world or the word all or the word every. But if you look in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says this, "And we know that we are of God." Now, who is the ones he's speaking here who are of God? Believers. If you're a believer, you've been chosen by God. You've been justified before God, not based on your works or your worthiness, but based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed. If you're of God, you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, bought and paid for. He died for your sins. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And you have eternal life. If you are of God, you've been born again by the Spirit. If you are of God, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've repented of your dead works, your efforts to save yourself. So he says in verse 19 of 1 John 5, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or literally in the wicked one. So he says the whole world lies in Satan, under the power of Satan, under the darkness of Satan. Well, is that talking about every individual without exception? The answer is no. It's talking about unbelievers, the world of unbelievers, Jew, Gentile. And then sometimes, like in John 3:16, it's talking about the world of believers, Jew and Gentile. So when we come to passages like this, look, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." But look at verse 23. He says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, that belong to Christ at his coming." So who are the all? As in Adam all die. Well, look back at Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 12. Romans 5:12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that's Adam, "and death by sin." Sin was the penalty. How did sin and death get here? We're all subject to sin and death. We're born naturally. We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall, and we're born dead spiritually in sin and trespasses and sins, the Scripture says. We don't have spiritual life. That's why we must be born again. We must be given spiritual life. So he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," or all sinned, literally. Now, how do I know that Adam represented me in that garden, that I was ruined in the fall? Because I'm born dead and spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, and I'm a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned," Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, that's me by nature. The Bible says that even believers were by nature children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we're never under the wrath of God, but by nature, as we were naturally born, there's no difference between me and a child of wrath, one who lives in unbelief and perishes by nature. And that's why I have to be given a new heart, new life, a new spirit, born again, see? So, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means we all fall short. We never measure up. There's a lot of different kinds of people on this world. There's nice people and there's mean people. There's sincere people, there's insincere hypocrites. There are generous people and then there are old Ebenezer Scrooges. There's all kinds of people in this world. But here's what the Bible says. Because we fell in Adam into a state of sin and death, none of us, not even the nice, sincere, generous people, measure up to the glory of God. Now, what is that? That's the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I try to love everybody. Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. You're on trying. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Your love will never equal Christ's love for His own, His people. You won't measure up. You say, well, I'm going to try to be the most moral, generous, nice person I can be. Well, you go on doing that. That's right. But even at your best moments, you will not measure up. We all sin and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that tell me? It tells me I need a righteousness that I cannot produce in order to be saved, in order to be justified, in order to be made right with God. That's why, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody told me, said, well, God requires perfection. Nobody can do that. That's right. That's why salvation is by grace and not by works. You understand? And when sinners attempt to be saved by their works, what are they doing? They're showing their connection with Adam, fallen into sin and death, coming short of God's the glory of God. Now, who is the all? In verse 22 here, for as in Adam all die, all who fell in Adam, all whom Adam represented, and how do you know who they are? They're born into this world naturally in a state of sin and death. Nobody is born saved. Now, I know, and getting baptized as a baby will not save you. It will not wash away original sin or any sin. It takes the blood of Christ to wash away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. The baptismal waters will not wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Christ. And if Christ washed my sins away, then how will I know that? Well, look at verse 22 again. Even so in Christ. See, remember what he said? By man came death, by man comes also the resurrection of the dead. Well, who is the man to whom the resurrection of the dead comes? Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, who is the all there? You say, well, that means everybody without exception. No, it doesn't. If it does, then rest assured that every human being without exception will be made alive. And that doesn't mean physical life. If you think that means physical life, and I heard a preacher preach that one time. He's talking about, well, that means physical life. No, it doesn't. He's talking about the resurrection of the dead here. That's the context. He's talking about eternal life. And so in Christ shall all. Who is the all there? All whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. Remember he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the will of him which hath given me all them. He said that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Who is the all here? All whom God justifies based on Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to them. All whom he has forgiven of all their sins by the blood of Christ. God cannot and will not charge them or impute sins to them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn me? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ? No one and no thing can do it. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's all whom Christ redeemed by the blood of the cross. If he died for you, he's going to give you life. He said that. He said, my sheep, I die for the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His sheep hear his voice. They follow him. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. You see that? It's all whom Christ redeemed by the blood of the cross. It's all whom the Holy Spirit calls under the preaching of the gospel. That's how you know. That's when the Holy Spirit, that's when Christ, by the Holy Spirit, applies this life to us personally in the new birth. You must be born again. And when you're born again, you see the glory of Christ. You see your sinfulness and your depravity. And how if God were to judge you based on your best efforts to keep the law, you'd be damned forever, connected with Adam in death. You see that your only hope of salvation, of forgiveness, of righteousness, is the glory, the worthiness, the blood, the righteousness of Christ. For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And when He brings you to see that, you're made alive. You have eternal life, and you rest in Him. You've been made alive. You've been given spiritual life. You've been given eternal life. This is life eternal, Christ said, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Over in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 14, listen to this. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, he's talking about Christ's love for His sheep, His people, hearing His love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction for our sins. So the love of Christ constrains us, controls us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, or literally, then all have died. Now, who is the all here? Not all without exception. Christ is the one who died for all His people. And when He died, they died. Not personally, but He died as their substitute, our substitute. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Over in Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" That's not talking about the ordinance of water baptism, the confession. That's talking about being united with Christ. If Christ is my Savior, if Christ is my Redeemer, if Christ is my representative, my surety, my substitute, my Lord, He represented me. He was my surety. My sins were imputed to Him. His righteousness is imputed to me. He's my substitute. He took my place on that cross. He's my Redeemer. He paid the debt. And so when he died, I died with Him. Not me personally, but in the person of Christ. In verse 4, he says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see that? So who is all? Back here in verse 22. Look at it again. 1 Corinthians 15. And anytime you see those words, all or every or world, the context determines who he's talking about. And here, all who are in Adam die. I had a connection with Adam in my natural state. In the Bible, it's called the old man. My connection with Adam. But my old man was crucified with Christ. He represented me. And everything that connected me with Adam was put to death on the cross with Christ. Now I still retain the flesh. That part of my connection with Adam that struggles within me, that causes me to struggle. The Spirit indwells me and there's a warfare within me. But I cannot be condemned. That's what it means when it says the old man has died by the death of Christ. I cannot. I'm still a sinner, but my sins are not imputed to me. They're not charged to me. They cannot condemn me because I'm in Christ. I've been made alive. And that's who the all are there. In Christ shall all be made alive. Who's the all? All who are made alive. How do you know if you've been made alive? You've been born again by the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. You believe that gospel. You believe unto righteousness. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You rest in Christ. You plead Him, not your works, not your efforts, not even what God has enabled you to do. You plead Christ and His righteousness as your only ground of salvation, as the only source and power of eternal life and glory. That's what you do. You repent of dead works and idolatry. You repent of ever thinking and believing that salvation was conditioned on you. You see now that salvation has always been conditioned on Christ. And by His death on the cross, He fulfilled all those conditions and ensured my salvation. You look to Him as the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith in Christ is the first evidence of being made alive. And you see that your salvation in its beginning, in its continuation, and in its culmination in glory is all the work of God in Christ. It's not conditioned on you or me. If it were, it would fail. And that would be death. And that's why I say, I emphasize this on this program all the time. Look, I can never boast in anything I do or am enabled to do. God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The unbelieving world is cursed, and I am crucified to the world. They look upon me as being cursed. The Apostle Paul had to deal with that, didn't he? He struggled with his enemies. They called him a heretic. And he told them this one time. He said, after the way which they called heresy, that's the way I worship God. They don't know God. And my friend, if you don't know concerning the glorious person and finished work of Christ and how He makes all for whom He lived, died, was buried, and rose again alive, you don't know the gospel. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.